I'm just.
I'm cool with it. Whenever you're ready.
Yep.
We'll call over to the Tampa County Solid Waste Management Executive Committee. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We don't have a phone, so we don't have to worry about the acknowledgement of the phone call or the number or, okay?
Yep, it's normal procedure, or the old normal procedure.
All right, so I will open up public comment and we'll go from there.
Okay, so I have four things. Three are good, one is bad.
Come right in.
The first, I guess I'll start with the bad news, is that on Sunday and Monday, we had two break-ins here. The first was on Sunday during operating hours of landfill. Two individuals were successful in getting access to this building through that door, even though it was locked. And the alarm went off, and it's really quiet at first, and then it gets really screeching loud. And the alarm company called me, then Waste Connections came up. They talked to the two people at that time were trying to leave, so I'm thinking they were deterred by the alarm because it's so loud. And they were just saying like, we're seeing if it was open. But then when they walked around the building, when Waste Connections did a perimeter check, they noticed that that door was ajar, so they pushed it shut again. That's the first one. The second one was the next day, early in the morning, someone came on site on foot. We have surveillance, but grainy surveillance because it's dark. They went down the MRF. They tried to take fire extinguishers from the equipment. They removed speakers from the roll-off trucks. And they took a few other things that didn't really seem of value. And they attempted to leave the facility. We're not really sure what stopped them, because then they dropped everything they took, they were planning on taking, and then we can't figure out if they ended up ever taking anything else, because nothing seems to be missing. So, in lieu of those things, we're working with Waste Connections to come up with some better site security, but anyway. It's just.
I don't feel so bad today, because somebody broke into my house when I was up on the fire. So there you go.
Yeah. I think it's just a sign of the times. So it's not the first time someone attempted to break in out here, and it won't be the last, so we just try to adapt. Now, good things. One is our RMDZ application was accepted and approved by CalRecycle. We were just notified this week, so that's great. So we're in RMDZ again. Our cell construction, cell 2C, is almost 2 months ahead of schedule. We actually have our final job site walkthrough next Thursday. So after that, all that will be left to do is hydro seeding, and they'll be off-site. So that's great news. And third is that we were awarded a CPSC's Associate of the Year Award, which is a statewide award. We were notified 2 weeks ago that we are the recipient of that, so that's also good news. That's all I have for public comment.
Okay. Anyone else?
Congratulations on the
award.
Thank you.
Didn't you have fire out here, too?
Yeah, that was.
Since we met?
It was before we last met. Maybe it was after. But I'll give a brief update on that. I can't recall the exact date on that this time. I thought it was prior to our last meeting. But we did have a fire. We were unable to determine what the cause of the fire is. Probably something like damaged battery, lithium battery or something. Those things, when they start burning, they don't stop. It was in the garbage. It was about a foot down the garbage. It was started burning after hours. So we had our tarp on the trash, which CAL FIRE said is probably what saved us, because it smothered the fire. Our neighbors over there are the ones that saw it. So they saw it and then called 911, and then they contacted us. So
we're thankful for them. We need to send them an appreciation letter.
We did, yes. And then Waste Connections was, after they put the fire out, Waste Connections was on site all night for on fire watch. So, yeah. It was about 20 cubic yards of garbage. But it was in the middle of the garbage, which is fortunate because it was at the edge, then we would have damaged the environmental systems.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment and we'll move to the warrant register.
I think we have minutes first, sorry. Minutes first.
Do what?
Minutes first.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. I'll move to approval of minutes.
I so move.
Second.
Motion by Dave and second by Amanda for the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carried. Now we'll go to warrant, page 7.
For approval?
Second.
Motion by Amanda and second by Chris to move the warrants for $92,219.98. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carried. And the grant fund warrants? Cheap one this time, only $8,000.
Now we'll go to approval.
Amanda moves.
Second.
Dave seconds on the grant funded warrants, $8,739.20. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carried. Regular agenda item number 1, a camera for the pickup rear camera.
Yes, so we are requesting to install an aftermarket backup camera in the truck. The primary reason is basically safety. We have a lot of traffic on site, a lot of debris blowing around. You may walk around the truck before you get in the truck, but conditions change quickly, you know. So backup accidents are a primary concern out here because we have such a large volume of public at any given time, and they don't always listen to our rules of traffic flow. So we talked to the sheriff's auto shop, and they're able to install one for $540, that's parts and labor, and it will be an actual, it will be one that is integrated into the truck, so it's not an additional screen. It'll be, we'll get a new rear view mirror, so it's not additional equipment in the truck. And so we're requesting that you approve this. We have money in our existing budget to pay for this, or it wouldn't be additional funding.
And do we have a backup alarm on that also?
No, we don't.
I wonder if that's something
good thing they have.
Backup alarm? We can request that and bring it to you in the future.
You know, I mean, just like Caltrans and all the fire trucks, when they put it in reverse, and if I think all your heavy equipment out here.
Yeah, early got, I should have it on hand. So, or that's everything.
That's not on the agenda, so we can work on that. But
we can request it.
Now, Rachel, did you say, I'm sorry, it's hard to understand, but they're gonna, the camera, the screen will be in the mirror?
Yes.
Have you ever had one like that? Because they're so hard to see.
Well, it's better than having a whole other screen in addition to everything else. It's not a lot of space in there anyway. We have a lot of equipment in there.
Okay.
So we're trying to maximize the space.
And just those inner view mirror cameras or screens are horrible.
Okay.
Of course, you probably love their eyes, and I got them or something. I have a big one in my Chevy truck. It's still hard to see everything, but yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of trippy to look into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Is that a motion, babe?
I'll make a motion. Do it, yes.
Second
by Candy to approve the backup camera. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, motion carried. And review of regulation review and update.
So I fully did not expect for you to read these regulations. I just wanted to provide them to you because in my discussion with Chris, if you are interested, more information is sometimes better than not less information. So these are the last draft of regulations that CalRecycles released. They were released in April. What we did through with the formatting looks weird because we took it and we went through and deleted all of their strikeout edits they've made in the last 4 drafts. So you can read it more clearly and not have to bounce around and, like, you know, see the additions and subtractions and all those things. Because that's when it starts getting really convoluted. but the point of it here is that, and this is the main reason why I did want to have a meeting, is that, you know, this group has been delegated as the entity, as like the sounding board for the regulations as we move forward and developing the programs. And we're getting pretty close to when we can expect the regulations to drop. So they have until the beginning of September to submit them to OAL. And after that, it's going to be hit the ground running, trying to get all the programs developed and everything. So I wanted to have this as a kind of a refresher meeting for you guys, so that once the regulations are released and we start recruitment for our new position, where you guys are already up to speed, we don't have to kind of come back and do it all over again. So there's no lost time, essentially. So you guys have seen this before, but we've never really gone over it in detail, and I apologize it's printed here. But this is basically kind of like, I think it's right here, Amanda, right there. This is the From the Balcony overview of what we have to do and all the work that the agency will have to accomplish in the next 2 years. And then kind of like a broad going forward for the next 4 years after that. So if you guys look at this timeline on the back, we'll just go over it together. I wanted to point out that everything that we could have possibly done up to this point, we've already done. So we're really just waiting for CalRecycle. We haven't been procrastinating or anything. So up until this point, we've been monitoring the regulations, assessing our requirements. We developed a very in-depth implementation timeline and plan, which the board saw last year and approved. And we continue to discuss regulations with local leadership. I think that every jurisdiction in Tehama County is well aware of these regulations at this point. So, and that's, you know, that's good, because at least you're not caught off guard when they start to be rolled out. I've completed the delegation of authority to the JPA. So all the jurisdictions have adopted the amended JPA agreement. We have our new position classification developed and adopted by the Board of Supervisors. Their funding for the positions included in our budget this year. It's included on our PAL, so as soon as the regulations come to fruition, we're ready to move forward with recruitment with no delay, so we'll start recruiting immediately. And then once we have that position in place, then we'll start developing all the programs, which we'll all kind of go over over in a minute. Additionally, we've assessed our local or our regional capacity, and we've gotten funding through our board for feasibility study this fiscal year. I've let Lawrence and Associates know that once we sign the contract, it will go before the full board in October. So once that contract is executed, then they have 9 months to complete the feasibility study, and they're fully aware that and they can complete it in that time. So they're working their projects around having to work on that immediately. And that's pretty much where we are. The last one on there is amend our contracts and develop our ordinances, but of course we can't do that until we have the final regulations. So this is what things we should have been working on. As you can see, we've done everything we can do at this point. We've even gone ahead and done some things that we didn't necessarily have to do, like figure out who all of our edible food generators are, just to make sure we have an idea of who we need to be monitoring and who we need to be doing outreach to in some respect. So we did that last fiscal year. So once the regulations are adopted, we have until January 1st, 2022, to pass all the required ordinances and regulations. So that is our ordinances that make it so that we have enforceable mechanisms against our commercial and residential generators that they have to comply with regulations. CalRecycle is working on some template ordinance language, so we don't have to recreate the wheel. So we'll be able to review that. We'll need to roll out collection containers to all of our residents that comply with the labeling requirements. So we'll have to put out new labels on every single garbage collection bin in Tehama County. Both haulers are already aware of this. We'll need to complete an annual compliance review of all of our commercial generators. That's something we have to wait to do anyway. We have to complete annual education requirements that'll be based on, this is all work that the new position will be working on. That's the whole point of this new position. So we'll have to complete an annual education rollout there's very specific requirements in this regulation of what the education has to include. So we'll have to get a list of all of our generators and roll out those that education to them. We'll have to start, we'll have to develop and implement an inspection program for likely non-compliant generators. So those are your trouble people. And you'll have to have some kind of like follow-up schedule on how you're gonna roll back around to them. And we'll have to implement mandatory yard waste segregation program and yard waste sampling program. So that is just that because we already have a yard waste program in Tehama County, we have to make it mandatory that people use it or figure out what they're doing on site. So if they are composting their yard waste on site, then they'll just have to advise us that that's what they're doing. But if they're not, people who are, we'll have to make sure that they're segregating their three bins appropriately. So you have your garbage, your recycling, and your yard waste. So we'll have to be inspecting those generators to make sure they're compliant in that respect. And we'll have to do a sampling program of when that waste arrives here. There's very specific criteria of how many samples you have to do per quarter based on how many residents are on a route and what how many pounds of that sample has to be. So, and then so it's like, for example, I think if there's 1,000 people on a route, you have to take 10 samples per quarter of 200 pounds each. And you have to figure out what your contamination level is. And if you have a lot of contamination, you have to figure out what loads that contamination is coming from. And then on that route, you have to figure out who's the one that's likely contaminated yard waste. And you have to talk to them. We have to implement our remnant organic waste sampling program. So we have to take samples of the garbage. Again, that's based on how many people are on a route, how much, so many people on a route, that determines how many samples you have to take per quarter. And you have to analyze that sample to see how much remnant organic waste is in there that you're not capturing in your organic waste recycling program. And even though we don't have to do food waste recycling until 2027, we still have to do that though. So I don't know what the point of that is, I guess just to get us used to it, but we do have to put that into place. All commercial.
Go ahead.
No, I was just shaking my head.
How do we sample what's coming from, you know, you've got the Manton transfer station, mm-hmm. you've got the RTR transfer station, and you've got whatever is in the winter time for mineral. So how do we collect samples from?
That's the programs we have to develop. So okay. Yeah, that's all. So how we do it isn't really known yet, because to be frank, it's why would we develop how we do it when we don't even know how they want us to do it yet, right. You know? So. You know, I've spent many, many, many hours going through the regulation just to get us to this point where I can tell you what our requirements are going to be. But they're still manipulating their shallows and maize, you know. So once we know where the shallows and maize are, or the regulation, then we'll know what we shall may have to do, you know. So once we get the regulations, we'll be studying it carefully, page by page, and making sure we know exactly everything, and then we'll develop the programs to comply with it.
Okay.
And of course, every program that we develop is going to come here for feedback, right? So we have to come up with some sort of education and inspection program to make sure that all commercial entities are complying with their internal container and education requirements, meaning they have to educate their customers and their employees and have internal containers that comply with labeling requirements, and they're readily available to either their customers or their employees. So we'll have to inspect those people too. So we have to come up with this tracking inspection program. And the last one is, which we already briefly talked about, is the edible food generators. They have to comply by January 1st, 2022. And those are just your tier one ones. So those are the really big ones. Most of the tier one edible food generators in Tehama County are schools. The only other one that isn't a school is the hospital that I'm aware of. or the casino. So the only one we have jurisdiction over will be the hospital. So that's what we have ahead of us in the next year and a half, which is why I think everybody in solid waste in California is quite frustrated. We still don't have the final regulations because our due date is written in statute, and they were supposed to release the regulations to us at the end of 2017. So they're pretty far behind at this point. There are several deadlines after that. A lot of them have to do with just reporting mechanisms, infrastructure planning, you know, initial compliance reviews of routes. So those are things that will, you know, they're not as, we have a little bit of time once we implement things to then start working on making sure we're compliant with those other deadlines. But the majority of our work is going to be that January 1st, 2022 deadline. The only thing that, the only reprieve that we have is that we don't have to have our food waste being recycled until January 1st, 2027. And we're on, even if we build our own facility, we're on track with still meeting that deadline because we have that few extra year reprieve. All of our neighbors, Butte County, Shasta County, they have to have that program in place by January 1st, 2022. They don't have facilities yet. So at least we're a little bit in better shape than they are. So hopefully by 2027, they'll have a facility and we can just use theirs. That's my hope. At least Shasta County. Butte County is a little bit of a long haul. So I wanted to bring you guys up to speed on this. You guys have any questions?
No, I just like to thank you for all the work you're doing for us, because I know that this is above and beyond what your normal duties are.
It probably wouldn't hurt to have this document at the next full board meeting. For everybody to go over just what you just went over at the full board meeting.
Okay.
So that everybody is aware.
I probably won't provide them with the regulations, but that's for you guys. You know, whenever you feel like you can't sleep, go ahead and start with them. But
yeah. I wouldn't do the resolution to everybody at this point, but I would do this page. And if they ask for the other, then you can give it to them.
Yeah.
I can see me soon, Governor. Now he's gonna force me to eat more, so I don't have any leftovers.
Okay. Anything else, Rachel?
No, that's all
any
I have.
Any questions for Rachel on this document? Any other suggestions? Do you want her to come to your particular board meetings to go over this?
I'm more than happy to. I think the only one I haven't presented to. No, actually, I think I presented to them all now. I think I have now, but I'm more than happy to. What we're working on right now in coordination with Mendocino County, Shasta County, and our two waste haulers, Waste Management and Waste Connections, is actually to develop a pre-regulation rollout outreach program. So what I reached out to our neighbors and I asked them if they'd be interested, because we could all just kind of divide the work up and then we could all use the same media. And those are the people who bit. So it'll be each jurisdiction or entity is responsible for either developing like written outreach, social media outreach, video or radio outreach. And the idea is that starting January to February, we'll start rolling out this outreach to our communities just to warn people that this is coming. So that's, you know, that's my biggest concern, is that the public is going to push back in a big way, and I want them to be forewarned and not surprised as best as we can. So we're working on that now. We just had our first planning meeting today, and everyone has to come back with their basic concepts on whatever kind of media type they had on the 27th, and then we'll refine those, and then they should be done basically by November when people start going to holiday. So, and then in January we can all start pushing information out.
I was going to ask if you give any thought to having like public hearings or public meetings, you know, gatherings to explain to people in person.
The regulation requires us to do it to a certain respect. The problem with public hearings is we're only getting that same small demographic as the people who are already coming to public meetings. You're not getting, you know, the moms that are working all, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're not reaching most of the people. So we're trying to develop outreach that we can start getting those other demographics and getting the word out to them.
Yeah, well, and hopefully by then the COVID will be at least subsided and we can start having other public meetings like cattlemen and the tree growers and walnuts and prunes and
yes.
Because that's gonna, you know, the dryers are gonna produce food waste.
Yeah.
All the hullers are gonna produce food waste.
Actually, now that you bring that up, I had mentioned that the hospital is the only tier one generator, and I remember now that all the orchards are on that list too.
Yeah.
Because they produce a huge amount of food waste.
So, I mean, we, Josh at farm, not a farm, not our farm bureau, but the UC Extension, Josh, he has all the names of all those ranchers that does the almonds and prunes and, you know.
We had gotten a grower list from them earlier this year before COVID to, we were promoting our agricultural, you know, various agricultural, and then also like pesticide recycling. So we have that list from them already.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would like you to come to town hall when it's the right time to try to share information with you.
Probably be 6 or 8 months.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Like one time comes.
Maybe going into schools and educating the kids because they're the ones that are going to push their parents to do it at home too.
Yeah. So kids are the easiest people to teach. Adults are the hardest ones. So we've always taken that approach. That's why we focus on children so much, but that's another great idea, yes.
Okay, so you're up for
the
monthly update?
Yeah. These are, you've already received this monthly update. I emailed it to you. If you had any questions on it, now is your time to ask me questions.
Do we have any questions for Rachel on the monthly update?
This is one of the most thorough ones that we've had, actually. And I appreciate
everyone. I'm working on my July one right now. It's hard to go back and remember everything that you've done. It's always like, gosh, calendar.
Smart business line?
So we have two new members, and that's pretty good considering the circumstance of everything right now. It's Millstream Mobile Home Park and Corning RV Park. And usually what we do, the RV park does have some permanent residents. And usually what we do when you bring these mobile home or multifamily dwellings online is that we do door-to-door outreach. Of course, we can't do that right now. So we Paul put together these packets of information that the manager handed out every time people came and to pay their rent or whatever.
Okay. Thank goodness.
It's growing, yeah.
Grants update?
Okay, so our CalRecycle Household Hazardous Waste grant cycle number 29, that was for $75,000. We closed that grant on March 27th, 2022. We've already submitted our final report and received the final payment. And we met or exceeded all of our goals, and the main purpose of that grant was to extend our single-use propane cylinder collection program even further throughout the county, which is pretty far and wide at this point, and also continue to promote the refillable propane cylinders, try to transition people towards away from disposals. And this program that we implemented is one of the reasons that CPSC is awarding us the Associate of the Year Award, so that's pretty nice.
Who collects those one from the basket?
Everywhere except Lassen Volcanic National Park, we do. So it's just part of our milk run thing.
What about the private RV park?
We do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's 2/3 full.
Yeah, we call them all on a monthly basis to see where they are, and they tell us whether or not they think we should go pick it up. Okay. Lassen Volcanic National Park, they have their own dedicated maintenance staff that pulls them out and sets them aside for us.
Very good.
Is
the church camp doing anything in that program?
I think they declined.
Because they just got a new manager at the church camp.
Is that Camp Tehama?
No.
Oh, where's the church camp?
Church camp is, you know where Battle Creek campground is?
Mm-hmm.
Just beyond Battle Creek, there's a gate that goes across into the Mount Lassen Church camp.
Okay.
They've got 40 spaces down there.
Okay, we have some extra receptacles, so we'll reach out to them and see if they're interested. Our Waste Tire Amnesty Grant Cycle 5, we were awarded almost $32,000. We have until September 30, 2021 to spend it. We had previously scheduled a collection event for April. Obviously, that was postponed. We tentatively rescheduled it for September 26th, and that the sites will be in Corning, the Corning Park and Ride, and Evergreen Middle School in the transfer stations. Our used oil program, Cycle 9, we closed out. We're currently expending Cycle 10 funds, and that's just the ongoing support of our used oil recycling program. And we just applied for Cycle 11 funds, and we were notified by CalRecycle that if awarded, there will likely be proportionate reductions because they have a funding deficit right now, like everybody else does.
Okay.
And then our beverage container recycling program is a continuous, it's, you know, we get funded every year. That's just ongoing. We are working on submitting our annual report for cycle 17-18.
Very good.
And that's all I have for France.
Anything else?
Paul put in here for you guys his outreach update. I think the main thing that it would be nice for you guys to see is if you go to, we have a YouTube channel now, and if you go to YouTube and you just type in Tehama County Solid Waste, it'll come up. And there's two whiteboard videos on there that we partnered with whole bunch like Trinity County, Ute County, Mendocino County, Glenn County, Waste Management, and Waste Connections on developing. And they focus on clean and dry recycling, and they're pretty neat. So if you want, they're geared towards kids. They're currently airing on PBS. So just if you want to go check them out, I think that's, he did a really great job. He developed the whole thing. What's that?
Who did it?
Paul did.
Oh, Paul.
I mean, he didn't do the actual drawing portion, but he conceptualized it and worked with the contractor to do it. That's all I have for you.
Anyone else have anything to the order? If not, thank you very much. When's our next meeting?
It is